Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Last Sunday that I preached over through this pulpit, I made a statement. I said, I hate to see people quit. I hate to see them back off and walk away when there's no need to. The writer of Hebrews said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, man, there's that word again, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. But the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we, you might say, that's me. Look at your neighbor and say, that's we. But we are not of them. That's not who we are. We are not the retreaters. We're not them that draw back. Oh, no. He said, but we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That's who we are. That's who we are. I don't care what's coming my way. I'm just going to keep on believing. I'm going to keep trusting the Lord. I'm going to keep hanging on to God. Because we are not of those who walk back, who back it up, who turn away, who retreat, who surrender, or who give up. But we are those that believe even to the saving of the soul. Woo! Come on, clap your hands and shout to God in the house. I love who we are. And I want to preach to you a few minutes on this thought today. I won't go back. I won't go back. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you and honor you in this house. You are great and you are greatly to be praised, and we worship your great and mighty name. Father, today, just help us to hear what the Spirit would say in this church. Help us, Lord, today to be changed, to be challenged, and to be made better. Lord God, help me for just a little while to feed your flock. Lord, and I give you praise, honor, and glory for every bit of it. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Clap your hands. Shout one more time to God before you're seated. Praise the Lord. Yeah, hallelujah. God is good. Before you're seated, tell your neighbor, I won't go back. Don't you neither. You don't either. Man, it's just this little bit of scripture right here. It's so fun to preach out of. It's so full of promise, but it's also full of warning and instruction. And while we rejoice so mightily, and rightfully so, we should rejoice in the things that God does in our lives and the way God blesses us in our lives and the victories that God gives us in our lives. But we have to know, and it's, you had to be here maybe for the first service, but we know that things are going to come that will try. If he's telling me don't throw away your confidence, then there's something coming that's going to try to shake your confidence. You know, when you first get in and you're excited and you're telling everybody and your friends, your neighbors and your classmates and everybody, your family, oh, man, God filled me with the Holy Ghost and, oh, man, I got baptized. You just can't believe it. You're so full of confidence in the Lord. You love the church. You love everybody. And you're so full of confidence in the change that's now been made in your life. But there are going to be things that will come to challenge that change. There's always going to be something that tries to make you believe nothing really happened and nothing will ever happen You got emotional. Everybody just loved on you, and it felt good for a while, so you thought, oh, that's nice. But friend, let me tell you, when the Lord comes in and does a work, something begins to change. And when you make a step down to the altar to pray and seek His face, and God fills you with the Holy Ghost, guess what? Something actually changes. When you repent of your sins and are baptized in His name, something actually changes, because now our garments that were stained with sin are washed whiter than snow. There is a change that happens. But you better believe that that old life will come whispering in your ear. You better know that some of those old friends will come pulling at you. Come on back to us. Come on back to the things we know you enjoy. There's always going to be something to challenge the change that God has done in your life. But I'm telling you today, you need to stand up and make a declaration. I won't go back. I'm not going back to misery. I'm not going back to loneliness. I'm not going back to heartbreak. I'm not going back to addiction and dependency. I'm not going back to heartache and torture and abuse. I'm not going back to that stuff, but I'm going to keep walking with the Lord. I'm not throwing my confidence away just because something is challenging me. The scripture says there's a thief out there, and he wants to steal your victory. He wants to steal your words. He wants to steal your praise. He wants to steal your testimony. He wants you to be quiet. He doesn't want you to stand up and declare what God has done. He doesn't want you to tell other people that bound, you can be free. He doesn't want you talking to nobody in prison saying, hey, the doors can swing open. He doesn't want you talking to people that are addicted to drugs or alcohol. He don't want you going up to them saying, I know a place, I know a man, I know a name where you can be free. So don't cast away your confidence at the sign of a little trouble. Don't cast away your confidence when they don't want to go to Bible study with you. When they don't want to hear about your experience with Jesus. Don't you get discouraged, because there's somebody. Maybe that one don't want to hear it, but there's a thousand for that one that does. There's people that want to know about Jesus. There's people that want to know about a way out. They want to know about a better life. Man, all you've got to do is look around in the natural and see people are trying to do something to improve. They want their life to be better. That's why people will get different jobs or educate themselves or exercise or go on a diet or do whatever, because they're trying to make their quality of life better. But nothing will make your life any better than Jesus can make it. Because no matter what else you're carrying, as long as you've got Him, this is still the best life going. There is nothing. Let me tell you some things, young people, because I still feel young, but I know that I'm not so young anymore. But I have been where you are, and I have lived in this world, and I have done things that I wish I had never done. There's a lot of things that I still hang my head about and say, God, I cannot believe that was me. But let me tell you something here today. I've lived on this side of the fence long enough to tell you there ain't nothing back on the other side. I won't go back. I'm not going back to being treated like a piece of garbage. I'm not going back looking for temporary fixes. Friend, I have found what I need. I have been to the well of living water, and I shall never thirst for that world again. I won't go back. Sometimes I think no matter how long we've served God, we need to look ourselves in the mirror and say, hey, you're not going back. We need to encourage ourselves sometimes and remind ourselves there ain't nothing back there worth having. I walked away from that. God delivered me from that. He took that away from me. I didn't need it. God knew what He was doing when He called you. So the writer says, I'm telling you, church, he's not writing to somebody in the back alleys right here. He's not writing to the unchurched or the sinner right here. He's writing to the saints of God. He's writing to people that have already experienced, tasted, and seen that the Lord is good. He's writing to those that have been washed in the blood and filled with His Spirit. But he's writing to the bride, to the church, to the beloved, to the saints, to the preacher, to the evangelist, to the Sunday school teacher, to the choir director, to the music minister, to the piano player and bass player and drum player, the sound man in the media. He's writing to everybody that has been in the house of God. Don't cast away your confidence in God. Whatever comes your way, remember that God, if he ever had you, he still got you. It has a great recompense of reward. Honey, you ain't seen the riches yet. It has never been told. The scripture, the half has not been told. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. It's not even entered into our hearts the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And I want you to know today, if you'll hold on to God, the riches, the benefits, what you're going to reap is so much greater than anything you ever had before. You've got to make a decision. God will not hogtie you and drag you into it. He's not going to whip you and beat you and push you to it. He is a leader. You will have to follow him, but he will lead you through the valley and he will lead you to the mountaintop. He'll lead you through the desert and he'll lead you beside the cool water. Wherever he takes you, he'll be with you and you'll be so much better for it. You'll be so much more glad that you hung on to God than trying to find it your own way. Don't throw away your confidence. I won't go back. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will. If he says it, he's going to do it. He will come. And when it's time, he won't tarry. He's going to be here. I didn't give you this scripture, brother. Don't even worry about it. But the prophet said, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it'll speak and it won't lie. It might tarry. Sometimes you hear the promise before you get it. Sometimes you read the promise before you receive it. Sometimes you feel the promise before it's there. It might tarry, but wait for it. Though it's tarrying, we want to hurry up. He said, don't give up. Don't walk away. Don't quit. Wait for it. Wait for it because it will come. It's going to happen. It will surely come. It will not tarry. But it is for an appointed time. The Lord knows what you need, and he knows when you need it. And he knows right when to let it go. So he's holding some things because we're, don't let me hurt your feelings, sometimes we're simply not ready for what God's got for us. Amen. Listen, I actually said, hey, man. All these amens. Hey, man. You know, somebody could put it in their will. My grandson or my son, I'm going to leave them this car. Well, when you pass, they're only 6 years old. Car's theirs, but they ain't going to be driving it for 10 more years. Well, unless they cheat. But see, that's breaking the law, and that just gets you into trouble. But when they turn 16, they can put a bow on top of it and put the keys in their hand and say, you ready for it. You had to wait, but you knew it was there. Friend, let me tell you, you can trust God because his word is sure and his promises are true. And though it tarry, wait for it. Don't give up. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't go back, because if you do, you're going to miss it. Because he's going to drop that promise right where it needs to be, and you won't be there to get it. I'm not going back, but I'm going where God wants me to go. I know we've got some sitting in the house today, and you ain't been serving the Lord maybe as long as some, maybe longer than some. But I say this to anybody. I don't care if you've lived for God for 50 or 60 years or 5 days. Don't go back. Because anybody that served the Lord for any amount of time will tell you it only gets better. It only gets sweeter. It ain't without trial, and it ain't without trouble. But friend, it is with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is with peace and comfort and grace and mercy and long-suffering. It's with power. Woo! It's with plenty. It's with provision. It's with promise. It's with victory. That's what you get walking with God. If you put it into your mind as a picture, this is where I was when God called me. Every step, just picture. In this place is all the hurt. This is where all the struggle was. This is where all the pain was. This is where all the suffering was. And suddenly God calls you. And you start walking. Every step, you're further away. Every step, you're further away. And see, the problem is very early on is if you turn around too quick, you can still see everything real good. And it's familiar. And it's comforting. Because we like the familiar. The unknown is, that looks like a valley. Oh, that's my comfort. That looks like, but every step. And before long, I can't really see what's back there anymore. I'm not going back. I'm going to keep following him. I'm going to stop looking back. I'm going to keep my eyes on him. Where he's called me from and where I'm going to is so much greater. I'm going to keep walking for the Lord. Oh, my goodness. I ain't even got out of the first scripture today. Praise God. Don't give up. Don't walk away. If you're tripping over your past, you're going the wrong way. Hello? If I'm tripping up over my past, I'm going the wrong way because the past is the past. I should be walking on a new road, not on a road littered with things that God already delivered me of. I don't need to be tripping over those things again. I need to be walking away from those kind of things. I don't want to restore my past to my present. And let me tell you something. I don't know if all this is really necessary, Pastor. There's a few things. I'm just going to go back to a few little. It might not take your title, and it might not take your position, but it'll take the life and the power out of it. You start going back to the weak and beggarly elements. That's what the scripture said. How turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements? You might still believe, but your power's gone. Your anointing's gone. Your authority's gone. I've still got my title. I still got my position. I still got my card. Ain't no life in it. And ain't no power in it. So I hadn't forgotten the scripture. No, you ain't forgot the scripture. You just changed how you follow it. I told you now this was going to be some pastor preaching. It's easy for this flesh to change the way we approach Scripture. Begin to rationalize, that's not really for us. That's not really for me. Honey, if it's in this book, it's for you. Yeah, I won't go back. I'm not going to go back to living off of one Scripture and saying I'm okay. I'm going to do what the Bible says and live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There is no faster way to halt your process and your progress than to start drawing back, to start moving back, to start retreating, moving closer to the life that he saved you from. You're headed back toward the graveyard. Because where we start is where we end. Where we start is where we end. We start the life with God where this life of us ends. And now it's in him. My life is in him. I am hid in him. In him I live and move and have my being. Everything is about him. For it's by him, through him, unto him. It's all about him. I am, the scripture says it, I am complete in Him. And so if I start going backwards, I'm just headed toward that grave. I'm headed to the things of who I was when I was dead in sin, not dead from sin. It's a difference. We were dead in sins and trespasses. Now we are dead from sin, but the Scripture says, alive unto God. I am alive unto Him. I'm not going backwards. And let me tell you something. I don't care how they color it. Backwards is backwards. Whether it's a giant leap or a small little shuffle, backwards is backwards. That's the truth. Backwards is backwards. And it only takes you farther away from the one you're supposed to be following. If I'm following you, and I start doing like this, I'm putting distance between the one who called me and going back to the place He called me from. Backwards is backwards. Come on, tell your neighbor, don't go back. Don't go back. Praise God. Going backwards will not move you closer to Christ, regardless of what they say. Scripture says they like to speak great swelling words and lure through the lust of the flesh and tell them how free they are, but moving backwards doesn't make you freer. It moves you closer to the world and the life you once lived. Let me tell you, one scripture, one commandment, one principle neglected or ignored, that's backward. We live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Peter would warn the church in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. He said, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things," he was talking about the end of the world and things that were coming and what kind of people we ought to be. And he warned the saints of God. He said, "Beware lest you also," don't ever think it can't happen to you. You start letting up, slacking up, backing up, it can happen to you. "Beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked," being led away. I don't want to be led away from Jesus. "That you fall from your own steadfastness." That's your commitment, your consistency, your consecration. And that don't mean just big things. It means everything. The writer in Galatians chapter 5 said, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Because this persuasion to stop living the truth, it did not come from the one that called you. Who hindered you? Somebody else or the one looking at you in the mirror? Was it a who or a you? You did run, you was doing it right, you had it going, but you threw away your confidence. You threw away your trust. You started backing up. This persuasion did not come from the one that called you. He will never tell you to back up on getting closer to Him. Instead, He says, "If you draw close to me, I will draw close to you." So who are we listening to? And who are we giving our power to? The Scripture says in many places, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." We should be listening for the Spirit of God. What is He saying to the church? But the Bible also tells me that there are many spirits going out into the land, and they all have a voice. That's why we need to know the voice of God. And let me tell you how you can tell it. If it's telling you to get closer to Him, it's the voice of God. If it's telling you to be more like Him, it's the voice of God. If it's telling you, "Oh, you don't have to do that," that's the enemy. That's one of them spirits telling you, "You don't have to be at church every time the doors are open. You don't have to pray all the time. You ain't got to read your Bible. You ain't got to do this. It's always telling what you ain't got to do so you can be free." But the voice of the Lord will call you out of darkness. Anything other than the truth that you have been obeying is not of Him. Peter would also say in 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The word devour means to swallow up entirely. He would love to just see who Jesus has made you disappear. "I just want to swallow that testimony up so they don't tell nobody else But then he said, whom resist? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Let me tell you, somebody else is going through it. If somebody else is winning the battle, you can too. He said, these same kind of battles are being won every day by your brothers and sisters out in the world. Those people that have been called and filled and blessed and are following God, they're winning every single day. The enemy does not have to kill you. He just wants you to draw back. He wants you to hurt that testimony. Oh, if he can hurt your testimony. You know what David was a man after God's own heart. They sang songs about him. Saul killed his thousands, David his 10,000s. He was the king of Israel, king of God's people. God delivering him, giving him psalms and different. Just his life was incredible. But when he made that mistake with Bathsheba, when he took that man's wife, and they had a child, and he had that her husband killed to try to cover it up. When he did all those things, you know what the prophet told him? He said, you have given great occasion to the enemy. He can point this out now. Anytime somebody starts talking about how David's a man after God's own heart, adulterer, murderer, liar, you've given a great occasion to the enemy that he can blaspheme David, but God's not done with you. The enemy thought, finally, I got David. Goliath couldn't get him. Saul couldn't get him, but I got him. No, you didn't. Because David fell down and said, Lord, against you and you only have I sinned. Forgive me of my trespasses. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence, O God. He just began to repent and seek God. And you know what? He got closer to God that day than he had been in any other time in his life. Because he had never had to have that before. But he needed that forgiveness. He needed that mercy and that grace. And he needed the love of God that day. And the love of God just pulled him on closer. As he drew close to God in repentance, God came right up to him. God just came right up to him and touched him and blessed him right there. He was never closer to God than when he said, I won't go back. I won't go back, but I'm going to keep moving forward. That's it. Go ahead and lift your hands for a minute. I know the Holy Ghost is talking to you. There ain't nothing back there where you came from. Ain't nothing back there where you walked out of. It's all in front of you, honey. It's all in front of you. Hallelujah. Your past is a testimony, but what gives power to the testimony is you walking forward. You hanging around where God called you out of, that don't tell nobody nothing. But the distance that you put between you and your past, honey, that's what gives feet to your testimony. That's what gives the power to the words you're going to speak. Praise God. That's the kind of God I serve. He'll get you away from it. He'll get you out. He'll give you the power to keep walking. That's the God that I serve. Woo! Praise God, I feel him. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, you don't know like I know what he's done for me. No. You better be glad you didn't know pre-Jesus, Pastor. Oh, no. Let me tell you what he'd done. One time we had been, several years after I'd been in the church, we went out to eat with a group after church, and I'd been talking to some that we didn't know really well, kind of knew them, just acquaintances, really, and I was talking about things where God had brought me from. And as we were going out, this sister, she said, I really thought you had just been raised in church, the way you act. I said, that's the greatest compliment I could ever receive. That nobody can see nothing of the man that got buried in that water. I'm so glad. It ain't always easy. It's like shaving. You got to keep doing it if you're going to stay clean. That's the truth, man. You know, I'm like, Lord, either give me a beard or make me a baby face. But this shaving, but see, it'll teach you a lesson. So I like that clean look. My wife likes mine get scruffy a little bit. But to keep it smooth, you gotta, oh, it's so aggravating. It is aggravating. Ow! But the only way it stays clean, you let it go too long, and that's a problem. You don't just pick that razor up if you let it go too long. You got to have some other instruments involved. You let it go too long, you're going to have to get some other stuff involved. You want to make sure you stay following him. Keep walking with him. Keep doing what he wants you to do. Praise God. Don't go back. Praise God. I got a few more minutes. I know y'all done heard me twice today. It's really 2.5 times because I jumped up here and preached before service started. But I feel like it's helping us here today. I feel like it's helping us. Praise God. Paul said this in Philippians chapter 3 in verse 8. He said, yeah, doubtless, it's without a doubt, I count all things, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, all things he was talking about was his resume. He had just got through talking about if he could boast in the flesh, these are the reasons why. But he said, everything that was me before him, I count it loss for the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him. The only way to win is to lose that stuff. You've got to lose it. You've got to count it just as refuse, stuff that you don't want nothing to do with, stuff you don't want to touch, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and being made conformable unto his death. In other words, as he was crucified, I am crucified. I crucify my flesh. I die daily. Not as though, or then he said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Because as he was crucified and gave his life and he rose from the dead, he rose up to new life, so will I rise up into new life. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead, not as though, so don't get the big head. God didn't give us the Holy Ghost to be arrogant. No. He said, not as though I had already attained. Realize you are on a journey. You are in a process. Don't get upset with yourself and cast your confidence away because you're stumbling a little bit out of the gate. Every newborn that begins to walk stumbles, walks unsteadily until they learn the walk. You're going to have to get that in your mind. You're going to have to learn the walk because now you have something else, a cross. Take up your cross, and you got to learn. You ever, I do this all the time. I take 50-pound bags of feed down to my feeder, and I have to walk down my driveway around all through the backfield, and I throw that 50-pound sack on that shoulder. Let me get it back. I have to keep adjusting it so I don't drop it or fall over. But I carry it. But I'm not so arrogant to think I can just do it. Whatever. It has to be adjusted, or I can't walk with it. When you come to God, there's some adjustments you're going to make. Just like everybody did. Just like Paul did. Just like Peter did. Yeah, just like I did. But those adjustments, you learn how to walk with God. It's worth it. You learn how to walk with God. So not as though I had already attained or were already perfect. Oh, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But we are supposed to move on toward perfection, according to the scripture. Keep striving for it. So he says, so I'm not going to let my lack of what I've attained in my imperfection to stop me from following, because he said, but I follow after. I ain't got it all together yet, but I'm not going to stop following him. I ain't got it all together yet, but it's better than where I came from. Excuse me. I ain't got it all together yet. I'm not perfect, but there's no way I'm going back to the hell he called me out of. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. So he said, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended this. I hadn't caught it yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth into the things that are before. The past is behind, Christ is before. Heaven's in my view, my past, it's in the rear view. View, rear view. I don't want the rear view. I want to keep following him and reaching for him. I want to make sure I get to him, reaching to those things that are before. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many, be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything else you're otherwise minded, God will reveal it to you. God will show you where you're missing the mark, show you how to correct your course. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained. Here, this is a very important verse in this passage. Wherever you are, keep walking. Don't go back. Don't start looking for another answer. Wherever you've gotten to, hold on to that and keep reaching forward. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Remember, here are three things from the position I'm at right now. I'm not who I used to be, and I'm not where I used to be. The Bible says, such were some of you. Now you're washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. If any man be in Christ, he is an old creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new, and behold, all things are of God. I know what it took to get here. The disciples knew. They dropped their nets to follow him. Peter even said, behold, we have forsaken all to follow you, and what shall we have? Paul said, I have lost all things. Praise God. But I've come too far. The old song said, I've come too far to fail him now. I've come too far to break my vow. When he called me, I said, I'll go. I'll follow you. And then number three, I have not yet arrived at my destination. I am in the process. The Bible says for me to glorify God and in my body and my spirit, which are his. Guess what? That don't always happen at the same time. It'd be nice if we repented and jumped up, got filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized and never had another problem. But your flesh don't always catch up with your spirit. But I'll tell you this. If you will keep following him and you keep growing and building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and you keep building your spiritual life, the flesh will begin to lose its grip. It'll lose its allure. The scripture says we mortify or destroy or kill the deeds of the flesh by the spirit. And so, the more I begin to look at spiritual things and participate in spiritual things, the flesh begins to lose its appeal. Yeah, we got to live in the flesh, sure, but those worldly things, those fleshly things. One man said, I saw this quote, I wrote it down, I believe it was Timothy Hurd. He said, when your prayer life goes to sleep, your past life wakes up. And that could be with anything in your spiritual walk start going to sleep. Something in your past will start waking up. I want it to stay gone, back there asleep. I don't want to see it no more. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Stand fast. Don't cast away your confidence. Just stand fast in the liberty, because once you are filled with His Spirit, that's liberty. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's what it says. And Christ has made you free. He has broken the chains. He said, don't be tangled up again with the yoke of bondage. Don't do that. The Spirit leads us, it says, into all truth. So being led by Him, following, being led is to follow. I'm following Him. I'm just walking in truth. Whatever you're doing, it might be tough sometimes, but you're walking in truth. Stick with it. I won't go back. I can't draw back. Writer said it, and you can come to the music this morning. I'm fixing to close out here in just a second. I won't go back. I won't go back. Jesus was preaching to His disciples one day. Many, we always think about the 12, but He had many disciples while He walked this earth. One day He was preaching. They said, "Ooh, this is a hard saying. This is tough. Who can hear what He's saying today?" And when He got done, it said, and at that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. They just went back. Immediately, Jesus looks at the 12. He says, will you also go away? And I thought about that, reading it one day, it stuck out to me. What Jesus is saying is, if you go back, you go away. You start going back, because they went back. They went back to their homes, back to their lives. But when you go back, you go away. Now, away, that's separation. You go away from God. When you start going back, you ain't getting closer to God. You're moving away. But they said, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We know that you're the Christ, and you've got the words of eternal life. Where would we go? There's nowhere else to go. And when we realize that, we can endure anything. Sure, there was a lot of pressure as that 12 watched the multitude walk off. You sure we're doing the right thing? Look at all these people leaving. Look at all these people walking off. You sure we're right? It ain't about the number. It's about the truth. It's about who He is. Stick with Jesus. Stick with Him. The Scripture says that the Lord would call us out of darkness into His marvelous light. I know the difference between dark and light. Can I tell you this, that all the believing in the world cannot change the property of darkness and turn it into light. All the belief, and say, yeah, I believe this, that can't change anything. Called out. You have to answer the call. You have to hear the Spirit. You have to come away and put distance between you and the darkness. Stand with me this morning. Hebrews 10:23. He said we should hold fast. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. He is faithful. Hold on to it. Listen to me. Hear me. I know the Lord's talking to somebody in here today. You've wandered. You've prayed. You've lying awake at night. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? It's worth it. Hold on to it. Job, and all of his heartache and all that his loss and everything that he suffered, he said this in Job 23:11, my foot has held his steps. Wherever he stepped, that's where I'm going. I'm following him. I'm not going back. I'm following him. He said, my foot has held his steps. I've kept walking in his path. His ways have I kept and not declined. I hadn't gone back. I hadn't went back to those days of not believing him and not trusting him. Job would even say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm going on with him. I'm thankful for what God has done in my life. Are you thankful for what God's done in your life? He saved us from a life of destruction. He saved us from a life of eternity without him. I won't go back. I won't go back. In Matthew 24:25, the servant is a big topic. We like Matthew 25. And this is our goal, to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But in chapter 24, he asks the question, who then is that faithful servant? It's the one that keeps following. Just because you fall doesn't make you unfaithful. Just because you make a mistake doesn't make you unfaithful. Peter made a mistake. Faithful. He still followed. You got to get up. Though a good man fall, shall not be utterly cast down. The hand of the Lord upholds him. God's got an answer. Just get up. Fall forward, not backward. Whenever you're walking upon them, when you fall in the right direction, fall forward, fall in the place. So get up, look up, dust off, and keep going. That's what he wants you to do. I've come too far to fail him back. I've come too far to break my vow. I don't know about you, but you know, people always say, a lot of people make promises in the altar, but I did. I said, Lord, I'll serve you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. Whatever, because I knew that this life, I could feel it in the very first step that this was a better life than where I was at. I knew I was walking on better ground. It wasn't sinking sand no more. It was firm foundation. So I know the Lord's talking to the people that are here today. I know it. Just throw that decision away and hang on to your confidence, because you've walked right up to the edge of walking out and walking away and walking back where you came from. That ain't the Lord. Hang in there.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.